Episode we got, Justin?
44.
Get out of the way, please, 44. Justin. Get out of the way. All right, episode 44. New, how are we looking? All right, right here. Where do I look like this?
There you go.
Right here. Oh, that one's me?
Yeah.
All right. Got some new Bean Shooter merch. Represent Massachusetts. I got to have some New York and Columbia license plate ones made up. Just got back again. All right, yeah. So the link in my on my Instagram in the bio, got some new merch going on. So podcast number 44. Once again, I never know what I'm going to talk about. I just come on here. You know, sometimes during the day, I'm like, oh, I should write some stuff down and what we're going to talk about. But today was a shitty day. I had a ticket for cell phone in hand. You know, I talked about it and I appealed it. I got found guilty. And today I had the appeal hearing was for April 1st, and I forgot. I think I thought it was an April Fool's joke. So I took a ride down with a friend of mine who's the guest on the podcast tonight. And I tried to get another date, but they already found me guilty. So that sucked. It started off my day on a bad note. But tonight I got a friend of mine on, Antoine Griffith. From Boston, Massachusetts, primarily from Mattapan neighborhood, River Street, right around River Street Park, right?
Absolutely.
River Street Playground Park, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's right. My name rings bells around that area a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been over there. I actually lived in Mattapan when I was younger.
Yeah.
In Department of Youth Services. Challenge, yeah. You know the Challenge Y?
Yeah,
Challenge
Y
building? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was over there. I was I was one of the only white kids, me and one other kid. And then they moved that kid out of there. And but you know what? You'd think being like the only white kid in there, you get bullied or they pick on. And no, they were good to me. You know what I mean? You know, I like to think I can get along with people no matter who they are, what walks of life, what neighborhood. And, I just always tried to be myself. You know what I mean? No matter where you're at. I think when you go into a place and you try to act like something you're not or try to act like a hard guy, you know, you find out. You know, unless you're that guy. unless you're that guy. Yeah. It's a whole different ball game. And you really don't got to worry about getting along with anyone, you know? but yeah, that was way back. You're younger than me, so yeah, you were very young then. That was probably 83, 84. But Antoine, he's gonna tell us a little bit about himself. He runs a basketball league and he helps out a lot of people. You know, he does the right thing. You know, like a lot of people on this podcast, you know, he's been through some stuff like all of us. And, but you know, like years ago, I remember, you know, I talk about it sometimes in my story when I was fighting for custody of my daughter. I was in Cambridge probate court and the guy says, you know, I'm looking at your criminal history and your criminal history is terrible at best. And I said, well, if that's what you're going to judge me on, I'll just leave now. You know, I says, I'd like to tell you about what I'm doing now in my life. And, you know, that's all that counts. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter what else. I know you do a lot of good things, like today, for instance, you were helping feed the homeless. You were doing all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
I'm gonna hand it over to you and let you tell a little bit about yourself growing up in a city, Boston, and when you started playing sports and you know stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, since a young age, I started very young. I come from a background of a beautiful family. My mom, she's a foreigner. My father, he's from, the South, my father's side, my mother's side, they're foreigners. And I come from a good family, a great family, very supportive, religious family,
How many siblings?
I got a brother and a sister. One thing about me, I always played ball. I was a very athletic type of kid, when it came in like sports. I was very competitive, so basketball was my thing. I stayed on the basketball court, rain, sleet, and snow. I remember shoveling the basketball courts and things like that, man. That's how, I stayed on the basketball court. That was my thing, growing up. So, and anything I did, I was competitive, whether it be playing football, racing, running track, baseball, whatever it was, I was competitive, and that was just, from little all the way up to teens, whatever the case may be, But, I had my run-ins though, on the flip side of things, on the other hand, with the law and coming up DYS and in and out of, jail and did some prison time and things in that nature, But, I had also had a setback with, alcoholism and drug addiction, Whereas though I've been fighting for a very long time, I'm in recovery right now as we speak, some years ago, about 7.5 years ago or so, I started this program, a basketball training program called BLA, Basketball Life Athletics. It's a basketball training program. It has some added components.
How did you start that? And going back a little bit to when you were younger, was it a brother or someone that got you into, basketball mostly? It was just kids in the neighborhood, down the park?
That was something. That was an scapegoat. That was to get up out the house. And, that was just dealing with a lot, especially in the household or whatever, things that was going on with me, that's how I bottle up stuff. I take it out on the basketball court. I just go out there, and shoot hoop, that was my way of
escape.
Yeah, that was my outlet, But Basketball Life Athletics, BLA, the program started, a good friend of mine, Dave Palacio, who worked at the Mildred Middle School. I was at the Granada House at the time, which was a halfway
Austin?
House.
Austin,
yeah,
maybe?
Austin, yeah. Brighton, yeah. Yeah. I was in recovery at that time. And, I was trying to find something to do with myself. And we was playing pickup at Archdale Community Center, I believe, at that time. And I reached out to him and I was asking, can I come up to the community center where he was at, which was the Mildred Middle School, and was there anything I could do to come, help out? And at that time, he said I could come up there and help out, train the kids on Saturdays with basketball.
Nice.
Which was something that was supposed to be like, minimum at the time. It grew to be something, it was real big. It got big quick. It got big quick. It grew real big quick with a lot of great
people. Yeah, really, you got a lot of talent on your teams. I remember when I first we were hanging out and throwing you on my Instagram and stuff, and people hitting me up like, oh, you know, I know him, and played for East Boston High, right? You won the state.
East Boston High School.
But that the basketball league you started, there's a, people are like, yo, there's people on that team that are just ridiculous.
I got a lot of friends, man, that played too, man. A lot of friends, man, and associates, man, people that I know. That's talented, very talented when it comes to basketball, you know. I have a lot of friends to this day through basketball, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just even sports, like Mike Lush.
Yeah, Lush. Lush is on his team this year.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's how I met Lush through basketball, you know what I mean? That's my guy, man. You'll see him on the 27th, man, you come to the game.
Oh, yeah, I gotta be there. I'm not going to miss it, like my court date. Yeah. I'm going to stop doing the reminder on my – like, how do I not use reminders? I walk around with a phone in my hand constantly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the start of the season, I want to – where is it starting? In Revere, is it?
I believe so this year. I gotta touch base with the commissioner, my boy Gene, who runs that league, man. That's my boy, man. I got to touch base with him. It should be – last year it wasn't Revere. I believe so this year. So it's going to be on the 27th, though. Definitely. That's opening day. We play at 6:30. It's called the CLBO League. It's a real good league, man. It's real. It's one of the best leagues around in Massachusetts. So, Lush is on the team, though. He's on my team, though. It's, you know. We'll see what happens this year. Less than something else, man. He's a funny guy, man.
Yeah, I can't wait. So how did you go about, just because you know so many people, like, you know, recruiting people for your team and stuff? Like, how did you?
I know everybody.
Yeah.
I know everybody. And I got my hands here and there and everywhere. Ain't nothing to make a phone call or two. You know what I mean? I've known so many people just being here and there and everywhere that I can just get out there in the field and just, you know, touch base with this one, that one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm well connected, like, you know, how we are, you know what I mean? I could say, hey, Mike, you know, what's up with this kid, such and such and such and such, you know, and that's how I could touch base with people too also, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you're respected.
Yeah.
Yeah, well-known and respected. Yeah. You gonna be playing it all or what? You gonna be balling a little?
I play this Saturday, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I'm playing for so you know how we out there in Lowell.
Yeah.
So I'm playing for the Looney Goons. So listen, right? So it's me, Randy, Joey Jump, right? We're playing Saturday in Revere at Revere High School. We play at 9:00.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we playing. We really playing.
Man.
Yeah, we playing in the tournament. It's the recovery. Every year they do a big tournament, the recovery tournament. So there's a Boston team, there's a Lowell team. You know, all over, all the towns. Everybody, there's like 15 teams in it. Yeah, so we play Saturday. Yeah,
Joey Jump and Randy Apparel, huh? Yeah, Joey Jump got the game?
Yeah, Joey can shoot.
Joey can shoot.
We got practice Friday. We've been practicing too. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we've been practicing over there at the cafe over that area.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
You been schooling him a little bit?
Yeah, we've been playing.
Hey, how's Randy doing?
Randy's going to play the point guard like Cousy.
Yeah.
Randy's our little Bob Cousy. Randy's going to be our little, that's our Bob Cousy.
Yeah. Cousy's still around, right? Yeah. He didn't die yet, did he, Bob Cousy?
I believe he just came out just recently, right? He was in a wheelchair or something like that.
Yeah.
Cousy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the man. He's the man.
Yeah. But, so, you know, this summer I'm looking, you know, to have a real comeback this summer with, as far as the youth and everything goes, you know what I mean? Because, you know, my mind is set back and my you know, the things, the issues that I've been dealing with, you know, I want to really do it this year and come back 2025 and give it all back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like today, I feel good, you know, after my meeting, me and my recovery coach, you know, we went out and passed out a lot of clothes and stuff and food and stuff to the homeless people and stuff like that. You know, it felt good to do that out there by the church and stuff like that.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
South Common.
Yeah, it felt real good to do, you know, things like that. You know, I mean, I like to do stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, that area is bad up there by the projects up the hill. It's like a mini Mass Ave.
Yeah.
I was actually down Mass Ave a couple of weeks ago, and it was, like, cleaned out. It wasn't, you know the street that goes down by the bay and comes out the other side? Those streets weren't... I don't know what's going on. The last time they cleaned it out like that, like someone was coming to town. I don't know who it was, some politician. I feel like that's the only time they clean it out is like maybe someone's coming to Boston and they want to, you know, look at the area and they go clean everybody out. But I haven't been down in a week or two. So who knows? They go back or they move over to the other side, you know, over to Melnia Cass on the other side, you know. Yeah. But
you been down there lately?
Yeah, well, not for a couple of weeks, you know.
Yeah.
But I'm always around. I'm always around that area. You know,
yeah. I heard they cleaned it up a little bit.
Yeah, it isn't as bad. That's for sure. You know, than it was a year or two ago. But they, you know, they always come back. You know,
I know they got the tents out of there though.
Yeah,
and they got the tents out of there.
Yeah, ever since they shut down the island, they're talking about opening the island back up. You ever over on the island there?
Yeah, over there. I think what's called Woods Mullen, right?
Yeah,
you get the bus from there and then take it over on the island. Yeah,
the bus right over the detox.
I remember I used to be in that shelter years and years ago. I was in that shelter years and years ago. Yeah, I was on that island. I was in the shelter over there years and years ago, man. I was there before, man.
I used to go over there.
I was in a program out there too. I remember I was in DYS out there too.
Yeah, it's called Casa. There's a DYS out there.
It was called Casa Island. They used to take us out there on the little ocean right there.
Yeah.
I used to throw rocks at people. I used to throw rocks at the staff.
Yeah. Did you see that thing I was on YouTube with that kid Tommy G? Did you see that?
Tommy G.
And Millie's. We went out on that island. We went out there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we were out there walking around. It was like abandoned, you know what I mean? There was nobody out there. It was crazy.
Oh, yeah?
But, yeah, we took a boat over there, and we went up there, like a fence. We hopped the fence. We walked around. It was like deserted now. You know, the old DYS and the Andrew House detox and the shelter. It's just, there's no one out there. There was some field. I don't know, maybe the cops were out there training, like cadets, because there was a field that was well kept. You know what I mean? It looked like people were out there, but no one was out there that day. But it was... It was weird being out there just, you know, thinking back like you. If you were out there walking around, it'd bring back memories, right? Like when you were in DYS and you were in the shelter. It brought back memories for me when I was in the detox out there and stuff. Yeah. Taking that bus out there sucked. When you were young playing ball, how did you first start fucking around? Just neighborhood kids drinking and, you know.
Yeah, drinking. Yeah, man. Drinking, smoking the weed and stuff like that. We used to drink 40s of OE and private stock.
Yeah.
Shit like that. Coke 45. Yep. Smoking reefer. It was called reefer. We had to roll up reefer with seeds.
Does the
and
private
stuff
stock like have the puzzle on the cap?
You twist it off and you got the puzzle in the inside. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Sure did.
Yeah. I wonder if they still got that. But
you know
what that is, Justin?
Yep.
The puzzle on the cap.
Yeah, you twist the cap, and then the inside it had the puzzle and stuff in the inside of it. Yeah, for real. It sure did.
So you started out, what, neighborhood kids?
Yeah, that's how it started, man, you know. And that's another thing, too, man. It's like the awareness of, like, I get things in order for myself. I wanna teach that too to the youth and stuff like that, man. Awareness of, like, you know, of alcoholism and drugs and stuff like that, because that's how it all starts, man. Just the simplest things of just picking up a bottle and things like that. You know what I mean? Because it's the smallest things like that that opens the door for the bigger picture of the hard narcotics and stuff like that that comes after that, man. Opens the door for that stuff, man, later on down the line, you know?
I feel like everybody starts with, you know, smoking weed, you know, and drinking, you know, and you never think, you know. I mean, I myself, I grew up in a neighborhood. There was a lot of prostitution. There was a lot of, I mean, this is way back in the early 80s when kids weren't on, you know, dope like they are now. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was like the older guys got a prison. Oh, he shoots up. You know, it wasn't like that. But in my neighborhood, there was always, people always came from all over the place to go to Lowell to cop. The cop dope. It was Lowell and Lawrence. You know, now it's everywhere. And there's kids, you know, ever since the OC epidemic. But back then, you know, I used to see the people. And it was prevalent in my neighborhood, dope. I sniffed my first bag when I was in like seventh grade. But I used to see all the junkies and say, oh, you know, if you do it 3 days in a row, you're hooked. So I always just thought I was too smart for it. You know, I know the dangers of it. I'll never be that dumb to get caught up. And,
yeah.
And you know, like everything else, something bad happens in your life, right? And, you know, most people, like now, being sober, you live life on life's terms. Something bad happens.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I can't be a coward and do what I always did. Something bad happens, run and get high. Run and do dope. Run and drink. You know, because it would always make it worse. You know, when it wore off, then you got to do it again. But you never think, you know, when you start off. Like, I grew up more around it, but... You know, whether you're a kid in the suburbs or anywhere, you don't think when you smoke weed or you start, you know, with your friends on the woods, on the project, or having a few beers, you don't think it's ever going to end up, you know, smoking rock.
You think it's innocent at that time.
Yeah.
But it progresses, man. And, you know, before you know it, you know, I'm telling you, man, it's backbreaking too, man. It you know, you crush a lot of people, man. Well, for me, man, I hurt a lot of people in my life, man, from my parents to my family to my kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, but and through the grace of God, I'm here today. You know what I mean? I've overdosed, man, like about 3 times, man. You know what I mean? And this stuff right now, man, this ain't even real drugs no more. Anyway,
no.
Man, this is fentanyl and stuff like that, man. Yeah, you know how many times I done woke up, man, either in the back of the ambulance or in Boston Medical Center. I don't even know how I got there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, you know, some people don't even get that chance, man. That second chance. You know what I'm saying? It's one and done. You know,
yeah.
And they down and they gone. You know, and their parents or their families is burying them. You know what I mean? So I know I got to take this thing serious, man, for real, man.
Yeah, I've had countless overdoses, like you said, waking up and they go give you the warm blanket. They got a little thing, the warm cotton blanket. And then and people would always say, one time I overdosed and, you know, they knock at me a bunch of times. There was a girl there and they're like, you know, you got to leave. It's not, you know, thought I was done. And she was out in the thing. She said there was a nun in the waiting room. They're praying. Then they come out and they said, you know, we brought him back. So I get up, I'm pulling all the wires out. I'd always do that and leave. And they're like, no. And I told her I'd get the car. And she pulled up to the emergency room doors. And I got in the car and I said, don't leave. Where's the dope?
Yeah.
She goes, it's in the glove box. So I said, just wait right here. I opened the glove box. I set up a shot. I did it. And I overdosed again. And she ran in the hospital and said, he overdosed. And they said, we know. He just signed himself out. He left. She said, no, he's right there. He's hanging out of the car. He did it again. You know,
damn.
They had me on suicide watch after that. I'm like, I'm not suicidal. And they're like, you know, you could have fooled us, right? But I remember afterwards, she goes, you did it. And you looked at me. And she said, I like shrieked. I screamed. And she said, you said what? And she said, your lips are blue. And she said, you looked at me and said, my lips are always blue, baby. And she said, I just went like this, boom, like the glove box was still open. I went to the glove box and out of the car. And she was like, oh, man, you know. So she ran in. But, yeah, those would have been some great last words, right, Justin? My lips are always blue, baby.
Oh, man.
I guess I always got jokes, you know.
Going to take it to the grave with you. Oh, man.
But, yeah, going, touching on what you just said, you know, you come from a good family and, you know, we hurt a lot of people. And I used to be so selfish, right? I used to be like, why is everybody so upset? I'm the one who's messed up. I'm the one who gets locked up. I'm the one who's in detox. I'm, you know, me.
Yeah. Right?
And I never thought of that. I was, you know, looking back after when I first got sober, you know, looking back, you think how warped when you're caught up in that life, you're thinking everything is just so warped, you know? And then after getting sober and getting clean and looking back, like, wow, you know, I was an asshole. I was hurting everybody. You know, it was, you know, less and less people care about you. Is, you know, you keep doing the same shit over and over. And we're fortunate to have, you know, some good people in our lives that still care about us.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, it's never too late. You know, I said that, I had a couple of friends, Dave Souza and Tony Souza. I speak about them often. And, I remember Dave said to me, you know, as long as he's breathing, he's got a chance. Because he was bad, like, you know, Mass Ave on the street, you know, that, you know, bad. And I ended up finding him, you know, he got out of jail and he was going to work for me the next day. And I went to find him and he would pick him up and he was dead. And, you know, I called his brother Dave and he ran down. They already, he wanted to see him and he was like in Saugus. And by the time he got there, they already had him in the bag, you know, and he was freaking out. And then a year later, the brother who had some serious clean time, he got in an accident. He like broke his leg and they put him on pain medication. He was in the hospital and he got out and just was running hard. Then he passed away. Mm-hmm. And I was at the Golden Gloves like a year or two later. This is probably 5-6 years ago now. And I saw an old friend I hadn't seen in a while. He's like, "Hey, how's Tony?" I was like, "Oh man, he died." You know, he's like, "How?" I go, "Oh, he overdosed." He goes, "Oh man, I'm sorry." He's like, "How's Dave?" His brother. I'm like, "Oh man, he's dead too." You know, he's like, "What the fuck? How'd he die?" I said, "Oh, overdose, man." You know, and we've lost so many people. We know so many people, man.
Big
who we lost. We're like conditioned to it. It's just like, boom, another one. You know, another one lost the battle. And I walked away after talking to that kid, and I'm like, "Wow, that was kind of fucked up."
Yeah.
You know, I never thought about it. He's like, "Oh, how's this one?" "No, he's dead." "Oh, how's his brother dead?" "Oh, he's dead too." You know, and it's like, I walked away. I'm like, "Damn, it's kind of fucked up." But you know, what are you gonna do? Like you said, you just by the grace of God. You know, we're still here and we gotta capitalize, you know,
it's so sad, man. I was thinking about it the other day. I said, damn, you know, it's so messed up how many people I could count off my hands and my toes and my, you know, my fingers and my toes that have passed away, man. And just, it's like, you know, it was so, like you said, with condition, and it's just like, it's so, you know, we're so used to that, man, way of living, man. You know what I mean? That's just from so, you know, so many years and years and years just growing with that type of lifestyle, man. You know what I mean? It's just unbelievable, man. How we're just so accustomed to that type of way of living, man, you know?
Yeah.
And it's abnormal, man, for real. It really is abnormal, man. That's just not no normal shit, man. It's not, man. That shit is not normal.
No, I think growing up in the inner city, you, especially Mattapan, was a tough area. You
oh, see it was a lot definitely of
people
tough.
Getting shot and killed. Never mind.
Listen, my neighborhood was a dangerous motherfucking neighborhood, man. I'm telling you, it was a dangerous neighborhood, man. When I'm growing up, my neighborhood was a dangerous neighborhood, man.
Yeah,
seriously.
No, I know.
It was
I know.
A dangerous neighborhood, man.
Mattapan, probably the most dangerous neighborhood. I mean, you know, Mattapan and Roxbury, but you know, primarily Mattapan. You know, just all the gang stuff.
It definitely was, man.
You know, besides the drugs, just the other stuff. Kids losing, kids dying, going to prison, kids getting shot. You know, the stuff you see, you become conditioned to. And you know, to make it out of there in one piece, you know. No matter where you are today, you know, you're here, you're in great shape, you're helping other people. I think that's a big part of it too, right, is you know, and like A and NA, you know, they say we keep what we have by giving it away. Like today, you're out helping other people. The other night, the guy, remember the guy Greg that was on the show?
Yeah.
Cavanaugh. Greg, he called me up. He says, "Hey, you know, we're going to speak at a detox in Danvers. You know, do you want to go?" And I'm like, you know, I can't say no to that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I can't say no. That's what gave me everything. So it's like someone calling me, "Hey, this guy needs a ride to detox." I can't say, "Oh, I'm busy."
Is it the new one? What's it
CA.
Called? Yeah. I heard it's nice, man. Oh, I heard it's nice, man.
It was
they
official.
Fit it together. I heard it's nice.
listen, no, it sucks, all right? I don't want you to. You don't want to go there, trust me.
Not like that. I heard they put it together nice, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm in the lobby. There's like these big, the walls are painted. There's like Elvis and
I heard
Marilyn
it was one of the
Rowe.
Better ones though.
Oh yeah, it was official. Yeah. It was official. You know?
Yeah, they told yeah.
They were all kinds
he said,
of
don't
snacks.
Get no ideas. He said, "Don't relapse on me."
Yeah, the food looked like it was pretty good, but I had a good time.
Yeah. That's good, man.
I went
commitments are good, right?
Yeah.
I've never been on one.
Really?
I've never been on one.
Oh, man, I'm
taking
never
in my life.
Who needs us? We'll go there and speak. How's that?
We That's cool. That's cool. I'll go.
Yeah, set it up. I like it. You know, I like getting up there and telling my story, and it was good. I had the guys laughing, and I felt like, you know, because there's nothing worse than when you're in a place like that, and someone comes up, and it's a snore fest, you know?
Yeah.
It's some lady, like, from Westford who, you know, got arrested once, drunk driving, and another drank again, and she's up there telling a story. I mean, no offense, but you know what I mean? If you can't relate, it's kind of tough to sit there through the thing. But But yeah, I enjoyed it, and I felt like most of the guys there liked it. You know, a lot of them were coming up to me afterwards and talking to me. And, you know, every time I speak at a meeting or go in a place like that and speak to people, when I leave, I feel great. You know?
Yeah, yeah. You feel like, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I felt fucking great leaving there, you know? So I got to do that more often, because I don't go to a lot of meetings anymore, but having the sober houses, I'm always, you know, I'm always in the thick of it.
You're around it.
Yeah.
You're around it. Like, but I'm going to say something though, man. You're doing something great. You know, I was talking to, I forget who I was talking to, and they was asking me, how do I know you today? When I was at the shelter doing my meeting, my 2 o'clock meeting, what's his name?
Shane.
Shane.
Yeah.
And you know, because we was chatting, and I said, Mike Lee's a blessing, man, to me, because, you know, when my back was against the wall when I was at Casa Esperanza just recently, and I was on my last day of my insurance, and they was booting me out of there. And thank God that I was searching around, and I got in touch with Selena at Thrive, and you just happened to be in her office. And remember, you took me in, and I didn't have a dime. Remember, and you took me in your household, man. And that's where I'm residing right now to this day. And you didn't even know me from a can of paint. You just took me by word over the phone. You didn't even know me. You didn't know how I looked. You didn't know who I was. You didn't know anything. Yeah. You just took a chance on me. And now look, you know what I mean? You didn't even know who you was talking to. You know what I mean? You didn't know anything about me, and you took a chance on me not knowing who I was. And I really appreciate you, man. I thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, man.
Seriously, man. I really appreciate you.
You know what I mean? I like to think I'm a pretty good judge of character. You know, sometimes people will call me up and they'll, hey, man, you know, hey, is this you? Hey, you got any beds? And I'm just like, no, but I can have 5 open beds. I'm full. And I started talking to you, and I just felt it right away. I said, he's a real one. You know what I mean? But I psyched him out. Remember I psyched you out the last day? Yeah. Oh, I got him.
He
got me.
He said all before. Yeah. Man, I almost was in tears.
He's about to come in the last second. He's like, hey, can I come today? I go, oh, bad news. Sorry, I don't get a bed. He goes, oh, really? I go, no, man, I'm just fucking
with you. I said, he's kicking me out of here, man. I said, I don't know where I'm going to go. I said, I'm going back to the streets, man. I had nowhere to go, man.
Yeah,
you know, I appreciate it, man. And I'm still in your household to this day, man.
Yeah.
And you got one of the better sober homes, man, out there, man. You got a few in it, and I appreciate it, man. I feel good about myself, man. I'm clean today, man. I'm sober, and I'm doing the right thing, man. You know.
Speaking of my sober homes, though, let's touch on that a little.
Here we go. He's about to get it. He's about to get into it.
Let's touch on that a little. So, Justin, I got a couple houses, right?
Yeah.
Now, one is running real, real smooth. And the one on Burn Street where he is, it's running smooth also. But there's a couple of guys in there. And I don't know how, like, a grown man could ever have this. I could see being a mess because I'm a slob, you know, leaving a mess in the kitchen. I do that. But as far as hygiene goes.
Oh, man.
Some people, right? Antoine ain't having it. Some people have real smelly feet, and you might have to remind them to take a shower every once in a while, man.
Boy, listen.
Oh, man.
You know, they're going to watch this episode after. They're going to be mad at me.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
Boy, listen, man. I'm telling you.
You got to clean that ass, right?
Oh, man. Boy,
there's
listen.
A couple of guys that.
Jeez,
one of them
man.
May or may not have been on this show before.
Whew.
As Jerome. He's been known to drop a few rap songs. We'll leave it at that. We'll leave it at that. But I might have to get him some new shoes and socks tomorrow. But other than that, it's good. It's a good house.
Yeah, it is. My overall is.
Yeah, it's a good spot, man.
It is.
His Randy Apparel, his roommate might be moving. Randy Apparel is he every day, right? He'll have on like a Celtic shirt, green pants, green hat, green shoes, right? The next day it's Red Sox. Next day it's Patriots. So Goodman calls him Randy.
Randy
call him Randy Apparel.
You know
so
he's gonna watch
he's
this.
He's in my phone as Randy Apparel. The other night I go in the back parking lot. You can cut cut down the back of the hill through the woods. So come on. And I see someone come out of the woods at like 10 at night, right? And you just see all dressed in white. I mean, I go, you know this is written in the apparel. He's the only guy coming out of the bushes dressed in all white. Yeah, his hair gelled up and chin on.
You know he's going to watch this episode, man. He's going to get you for this one.
But yeah, Randy's good. He might be going back to the other house.
That's my dude, man.
Yeah, Randy's good people.
That's my roommate, man. As soon as I got, first day I got there, that was my dude, man. Randy's the one who showed me around low, man. Randy showed me around low. He introduced me to a lot. That's how I know low, a lot of low, and I got introduced to a lot of people in the recovery spots that I go to now to this day. Randy showed me.
Yeah,
Randy showed me around the town. Now I'm on my own. I go everywhere on my own now and everything due to Randy.
Yeah, you're on top of shit, man. Yeah. You're a go-getter as far as, you know, you need to get shit done. You don't sit around slacking. You're not one to be laying around, fucking around, watching TV, video games. No, you're out doing your thing. So the basketball league, April 27th?
Yeah, April 27th.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be getting into that. You hooked me up with a backpack. You got some uniforms, right?
Yeah.
King Lush.
Yeah. Lush is something else, man. Oh, man.
We're hoping to get Lush back here tonight. Yeah. Update. Oh, with Lep. Remember Lep? Oh, man.
What happened with that?
Things went south with Mr. Lep. There's actually a song, Little Lep. There's a song about him, you know. Should we play this song?
Oh, you're talking about the song we just listened to?
There's a song.
Oh, man. With your boy that picked us up in the North End today?
Yeah, good, man.
Oh, man.
Let's see. Lep's a little fella.
You going to
let him hear? Lep's a little fella. Let's see. Where the hell is it? Would you like to hear it, Justin?
I would love to, yeah.
If I can find it. All right. I think this is it right here.
Oh, man. Wait till you hear this one.
There's a big nose man in a smoky bar trading his morals for a dusty guitar. He's got pockets full of Xanax, a wallet full of tears, singing to the ghost of his wasted years.
Sad song, but well.
Lying, stealing, scheming, the life that he knows. Drowning in the poison where the river flows. Halfway houses and shadows, he's lost in the pain. Again. A note pass quick. Prison cell. Secrets whispered where the broken dwell. Gabapentin hay.
Suboxone
dreams.
Yeah. Song is crazy. You said Gavin Payton is boxing. Oh, man.
Again. Wow. This. It's amazing, right? Out of past, Mark Goodman wrote this.
Memories crawl, dragging him back like a siren's call. But the mirror don't lie, and the scars don't heal. He's a prisoner of the hand he deals. Drowning in
lost in the pain, running from the promises he'll bring.
Goodman got a big cowboy hat on singing this song. He wrote it. Goodman wrote this in like 2 days. Not many people know he can play guitar like that. It's amazing.
Oh, man. When I heard that earlier, we was cracking up in the car, man.
Yeah, yeah.
That was funny shit, man.
Lev's broken a lot of promises.
Oh, yeah, man. He's still on the basketball court right now with his nephew.
No, he's probably done right now.
Yeah.
Who knows where Lep is?
Lush probably didn't even meet him in the gym today, huh?
Lush, I don't know. Lush was saying something. He had some contractor at his house and his wife. But yeah, getting back to Lep, you know, it didn't end good. I tried to help him out, and then you know we had differences, and then. You know, he left and I didn't see him for a week. And then I got a call from his probation officer. And they're like, how's he doing? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I haven't seen him in 5 days. And he's like, are you serious? Why wouldn't you say I'm there? I'm like, dude. I'm like,
what's that dude that was in the crib with us?
Yeah, yeah. Like, what am I going to do? Yeah, he's doing, you know what happened before is a good friend of mine just got out. And he got this kid in from Worcester. Great kid. And the kid, you know, in the past, he was a gangbanger. But, you know, he turned it around.
Yeah.
So I was cool with him, and he'd go out for the weekend, like, with his girl and this and that. So he was like a kid I didn't have to worry about. He didn't seem like the type was going to run off and get high. He was good. So I get a call from probation, like I did with this kid, right? And they said, you know, how's so-and-so doing? I said, oh, he's doing great. They said, oh, he's doing good? I said, yeah, he's been great, blah, blah, blah. She said, actually, he's not doing great. He got shot in the face 4 days ago, and he's been in intensive care. So now that's a loaded question. Now on probation calls, like let's say I hadn't seen you in 3 days, right? Oh, how's Anton Griffin doing? Oh, he's doing great. Well, actually, he's not. You know what I'm saying? It's like when they call me and ask me that.
Yeah.
It's like when the police ask you that question, they know the answer to, and like, and you lie.
You can't lie about that.
And you lie, right? So I'm like, oh, I haven't seen him. Yeah. And then he's like, you know, and he get all upset at me. Oh, you lied. Oh, you told him. No, I mean, dude, you're not. If you were living in my house, I'd. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's doing great. He's here. I don't know. He's at work. I don't know. But if I haven't seen you for 5 days, don't expect me to, you know. Yeah. I can't, you know. I mean, then you know what happens then? Then your house gets a bad name, right? They don't want to send anyone there. No, no. Oh, you're in that sob house? No. Probation don't want you there.
Yeah.
They don't want you in that house. Yeah, that guy just fucking lies and just in it for the money. And it's all his friends who are in jail and it's a fucking scam. And so.
Then you know, just, you know.
All so that happened and yeah. And now people are writing songs about him. So it's a, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll be famous now, you know? That song's Oscar worthy. Yeah. But other than that, you know, moving right along, I got to get, speaking about Shane Carney, I got to have him on here, you know?
Yeah, you got to get Shane on here. That's a good brother. We was kicking it today, man. He got a story, man.
Yeah, he does.
Matter of fact, we're going to hook up tomorrow. I got to go there after I come from the place down there. Down by Thrive, I'm going over there and go kick it with him for a hot second.
Yeah.
I'll meet him about noontime.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should get him on here, man.
Oh, yeah. I was going to bring him in tonight and do a couple of them.
Could have did that.
But he worked till 11, you know?
Oh, he doing a double?
Yeah, he was doing a double. Yeah. Maybe I can get him in. Maybe I can squeeze one in tomorrow.
Oh, you know what? He's not working Friday. You should get him in here Friday.
Oh, Justin's going away. Justin, by the way, Justin got his, I almost said girlfriend, wife. He was recently married. Didn't invite me to the wedding either.
Yeah, but, married Friday?
No, he just got married when? How long ago?
I got married in August, but I just found Friday's
twins. Found out, twins?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, he knew
man.
She was pregnant, but now it's twins.
Two boys, two girls?
I don't know yet.
We don't know another month or so until we find out.
Yeah.
It's still early.
How many months?
She's 2 months in right now.
Oh, okay.
So.
What you want? Don't matter?
Honestly, at this point, it doesn't matter. I'll be happy with either.
You know? Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. It's like, obviously, you want boys.
But you want identical, though? Or you?
Well, they are identical.
They know that already?
Yeah, they know that?
How the fuck they know that already?
Ultrasound.
Yeah, they did the ultrasound. They're identical. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, split from one egg, so same thing. So it's
that's how they know.
Yeah, so it's like a 95% chance that they're the same, either both boys or both girls.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
So, oh, so
technology's
they
ill, ain't it?
Crazy,
they could be identical and... One and one, like?
It's very rare.
But that happens?
It's possible.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's dope, though.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's soaking all in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's new, for sure.
There's, when you see the twins and you got to dress them up identical. It's the cutest thing.
I know. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
These are bean shooter onesies. Expand the
merch.
Yeah.
You gotta get them some shooter gear.
Yeah, no question.
You gotta give them some shooter gear. Gotta hook them up.
Yeah, the license plates, onesies.
Gotta hook them up, Mike.
But yeah, congratulations, Justin. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, you work hard, you do good.
At least you didn't miss.
Yeah. Down in the DR. He was down in the DR making it happen. Yeah. He's like, man, I don't know. Because the first thing I said, I go, any fertility drugs or anything like that? Cause, no, they make people have twins, right?
Yeah,
fertility drugs?
For real?
People that take fertility drugs, twins, triplets.
Oh, that's for real. This is for real.
Yeah.
But we didn't do that. This is natural twins.
Yeah.
Oh, you could plan twins.
Yeah, with the IVF stuff. Yeah.
Imagine that.
For real?
Or even now with the IVF. So with the IVF, they take like I'm gonna butcher this, but they basically take like a fertilized egg and put it in the girl, and when they do that, it's like 5 times more likely to split into a twin or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
so they can't say for sure, but you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's some crazy shit, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. You know, Lep should have twins.
That's the secret. Go down to the Dominican.
Gonna be walking around the house with both of them in your arm like a football.
Yeah.
I know. Yeah. I need one of those double baby things that go one on the chest, one on the back.
Yeah. You know, especially now where everything is. You know, recorded, and the girl, oh, you said you wanted boys. Is that? I used to say, I remember this girl, girl was pregnant. I used to say, yo, if it's a girl, it's going back in. I ain't playing around, you know? But then I have my daughter, and me and her, you know, that's my dog. You know what I mean? She's the best. So,
I'll be happy either way. But the crazy thing is, so amongst like my friends, there's 10 kids in the picture so far, right? Nine girls, one boy.
No way.
So
what?
Yeah. So like all my friends are having girls. So I'm either gonna have two girls and that gap.
It's gonna be 11 and 1.
I'm gonna close it up a little bit with a couple boys.
It's gonna be 9 and 3.
Yeah, exactly.
How old are all your friends' kids?
Oh, they're all like in a year or two.
So oh, really?
They all grow up together and shit, which would be good.
Oh yeah. That's good shit. Yeah. That's good stuff. So when will you know if it's a boy or a girl?
Couple weeks, 3-4 weeks, hopefully.
Wow.
So I'll keep you posted.
Yeah. It's on. It's on like a love song.
It is.
I gotta get you something and send it through Mike, man.
Yeah.
I
appreciate you.
Yeah, man.
Thank you.
And what about names?
So if it's a boy, we like if it's boys, we like Jamie and Cash, and then
with the J for Justin.
Yes, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because everyone calls, so my name's Justin Fine, so everyone calls me J Fine.
Yeah.
So he'll be Jamie Fine, but he'll be J Fine Jr.
What about J-Fine girl?
If it's girls, it's gonna be Tessa and Tatum.
Why? Because your wife's name is.
So she's Alyssa. She's Alyssa.
Oh, okay.
No relation with Tessa and Tatum. Yeah, but it's funny. So originally, before we found out we were having twins, we said if it's a girl, we like the name Tatum, right? And she, Alyssa, liked that name. And I said, okay, but you know Jason Tatum's my favorite basketball player.
Oh, okay. I like that.
And I said, we can't do it until he wins a championship.
He won it.
And as soon as he won the championship, I told Alyssa, I said, we can name our baby Tatum.
Yeah, that's dope. And hey, listen, and the way they playing right now, what me and Mike was just talking about, they're on a 9-0.
Road run. They're looking good, man. You like to see them, you know, you don't like to see them get hot early, but it seems like, you know, we're looking good.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing like that being there, seeing them win last year. I'm so glad I went. I almost didn't want to spend the money to go in. I was trying to. Yeah, and I got the cheapest ticket I could get too. I had someone. Yeah,
yeah. Damn, I wish I could go. They played today too. Damn.
Yeah, yeah. It was amazing. They win again. That'll just be awesome.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome. Porzingis is back. You know,
if he could stay healthy.
I know.
It's all about peaking at the right time.
That's
some
it.
Teams peak too early in the season. They peak by the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They run out of ammunition.
Yep.
We're just watching Cleveland and New York. Cleveland looked good.
Downstairs,
Down at Pizza Maria.
Yeah.
My Albanian people downstairs.
Why they short? Yo, they short.
They'll take you out, them Albanians. You know that, right? they'll be driving down a lull like one of the motherfuckers they wish.
Yeah, they short.
Oh, yeah. Good people, though. Great food. All right, what else? We're going to wrap this up. Anything else you want to talk about? Shout out your basketball league. Any players?
Shout out, man, the whole team, man. Yeah. Shout out, man, all my everybody that's doing big things, man. BLA period, man. The umbrella. That's what I call it. The umbrella. BLA period, man. The umbrella, man. That's what we going with 2025 moving forward, man. We doing big things, man. Everybody that's involved, all my homies, all my family, everybody, man. Shout out to my kids, my grandbabies, my friends, family, you know. Shout out to y'all, you know, having me on the show. I appreciate it, man. This was big, man, you know. I really appreciate you all, man, inviting me to the show, you know.
Yeah, and likewise. Appreciate you, too. Like, right, you know, from when I first met you, I just knew you were good people. You're a good dude.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, like, even talking to you on the phone before I got to know you, just there's no bullshit with you. Like, if there's a, you know, if you're feeling some type of way, you're not someone who's just going to, you're going to let someone know, you know, how you feel, good or bad. Yeah, you know what I mean? And I respect that. You're just a real one. That's why when we had that Boston Magazine premiere, you know, thinking back, I should have invited so many people. I know so many people, right? Like, I got my son in there last second. I, like, called him that day. Hey, this thing. And they kept calling me, like,
that night
you can
was
have
epic.
A guest list, like 50
that
people.
That night
and
was
I'm
epic,
like,
man.
I had two guys in the Soma House.
Yeah.
Goodman, Lush, Brendan Carter, Roche.
That night was epic. Yeah. That was lit. I was in there. I was having a good time, man.
Yeah, that
was dope.
I was supposed to be there. That was the day. Yeah. That was the night I found out my wife was pregnant. I texted Mike, I said, I can't make it.
It was amazing. It was jam-packed, man. It was nice, man. It was beautiful, man. As soon as you came in there, man, you was like, it was on a red carpet somewhere in Hollywood. It was lit up, man. I was like, okay, then.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I felt like I was a celebrity in there that night, man. I was like, okay.
You should have saw
Lush. I put my bougie on. I was talking all preppy and shit. You should have saw me in there. I was talking to people, acting like I was motherfucking somebody on it. You know what I mean? Yeah, one of them motherfuckers or somebody.
You should have saw Lush. Lush had the shirt unbuttoned, the gold chain, the Trump shoes.
Trump shoes on. Yeah, Lush had the Trump joints on.
Yeah, big ass blinging watch. Yeah, he stole the show.
Yeah,
actually,
he sure did.
He
Lush is a
on
motherfucker.
The cover of that magazine.
Yeah, me and Tiz. He's a funny motherfucker, man. Anywhere he go, you know, Lush is the life of the party. Yeah. He's a funny motherfucker, man. That's my boy, man.
Yep, good people. And like you said, he's met so many people through sports and made so many connections and so many friendships, and it branches out into other avenues of life. But, you know, Antoine, I want to thank you for coming on and, you know, just keep doing the right thing. You know what I mean? And you help a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to go to open a night.
Hell yeah. You know? Yeah, we're going to have fun.
And if you need someone off the bench... No. I'm like Pritchett. Just give me the ball. I'll launch it from half court.
Oh my God.
All right, man. That's 44 in the books.
Man.
Thanks, Justin.
Wearing a mask out there, and fresh air's gonna get ya. He always shoots from the hip for iced coffee, take a sip, toss it out the window, out a bump, let her rip. Bean shooter, like a gin, let's go. Bean shooter.